one of the practices that we have as a body, we don't baptize infants. Baptism is reserved for those who have professed their faith in Christ. But we do have a service we call a dedication service. And the purpose is for the parents and the larger family, which is the rest of their physical family and the body of Christ, to commit themselves to pray for the child and to raise the child in the light of God's Word and according to God's promises for that child. It's a beautiful thing, and God has answered. We're looking at many of the answers to these prayers over the years that we have seen grow up in this family. And it is a family. A lot of aunts and uncles, and your physical family too. Today, Miss Annabelle, would you bring your family up here? Boy, what a dress she has on today. And she's grinning.
It's a little too close to a dress you'll wear in the future, ain't it?
Well, then you'll have to get all redneck about that, you know, before that comes. Gail and Anthony, why don't you introduce all your family here to us?
All right. This is my mom, Cindy. This is her friend, Johnny. This is Noah. Gail and Annabelle. That's my dad, Joel, his friend, Miss Jean, Scott, and John, and Bev Gladden, and that's Aaron, and Kevin, and Matt Jackal. Okay, and this is the claim.
And you know, Max is going to be running for president one day, right, Matt? Well, Max, you don't even know who I am, do you? So, but you will one day. I know all about you. The scripture says in Luke 2:52, it says, "And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men." That's a very appropriate scripture for Annabelle, because it includes the four ways that we're going to pray for her to grow. Wisdom, stature, favor with God, and man. We don't know what she's going to become, but we know God has created her, struck her in His own image, beautiful in His eyes. And today as we pray, we're going to pray those prayers trusting that we as a family, all of us are going to ask God that what He promised for her, He's the one that created her in His own image, that she'll fulfill that and that none of us will stand in the way, but rather will be partners with the Lord in raising her up. Does that say it pretty well? Anthony, Gail? Okay. If you'd like to come and join as we lay hands on this child, come. Y'all come in a little bit, because they're going to all crowd around you. We'll have to come up with an appropriate Gailness for her, won't we? Noah, you all right down there, son?
A little crowded.
All right. Great though, isn't it, son? We're going to pray you're going to be a good big brother, too. Annabelle, we anoint you In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, now as we speak blessing over this child, we thank you that you have brought her into the world. The eternity past, you would know everything about her. Lord, she is your child. And right now, we're asking you, we're praying this prayer that, Lord, she would grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God. I pray for Anthony and Gail. Pray, Lord, that you will lead them as parents, Lord, every day, the decisions they have to make. Lord, give them the strength. Give them the power. Lord, fill them afresh with your Holy Spirit right now. Lord, we ask that you would bind the enemy, that he would have no authority over this family in any way, shape, or form, that Jesus would be every day. Lord, bless Annabelle today. We look forward to the day, Lord, when she will publicly profess her faith in Jesus. And Lord, bless Noah too, to be the great big brother you've called him to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Nobody still don't know. He's down there on the ground.
And we've got one thing to give to you. It's right back here. There's a place for y'all to sign here as parents.
Okay.
And a Bible.
Thank you very much.
Have any of y'all had a prayer answered before? Anybody? Have you had a prayer answered?
Me.
You've had a prayer answered?
Of me finding out who my call is.
That's right. That's a big prayer. Yeah, we can praise the Lord for that. All right. Y'all have had a prayer answered? Well, helping you through school?
God loves us.
That God's showing his love? Let somebody else take a turn. Anybody else? All right. Well, while y'all are thinking, I'm going to ask these people out here. Have you had a prayer answered? Has God done, you have asked him and you know God intervened. Somebody want to stand up and tell us about it?
Hey, well, let's praise the Lord for that. Amen.
All right. Now, there are a dozen other people out there that have got their hands up that wanted to share another prayer request. But I just wanted y'all to hear one and let you know that people, that God hears your prayers. And he answers your prayers. So let's pray together right now. Come in close right here. Let's pray. Now, Lord, we've got a lot of things on our hearts, a lot of things that we're bringing before you today. Lord, school, our family, sickness, people that don't know the Lord that we're concerned about, we're bringing all those before you right now and asking you, God, to do your miraculous work. In Jesus' name. Amen. One thing before you go. Y'all know those prayer requests that y'all write on that sheet every week? Me and Mr. Dane and Mr. Rick, we pray over those every Monday morning. So you keep them coming, okay? All right, y'all can go to Kid Zone. Just by a show of hands, how many of you had the thought that went through your mind just now, I wish I had that kind of energy? Oh, yes. What a blessing. We've been talking about hearing God's voice. Have you been practicing it this week? Have you been practicing? Trying to hear his voice. What's he saying to you? Will he direct you about everything in your life? Every detail. Is he Lord of all of it? Or is he just Lord over this much? How much time did you spend worrying this week when it could have been invested in praying? Of going before God and saying, Lord, I put this before you. I don't know what to do about it. Last week, we looked at the 119th Psalm, and we were talking about the primary way, one of the primary ways that God speaks to us is through His Word, the Bible. Now, when I was in college, my brother would make fun of me. I'd go to sleep at night reading, studying, and I'd have I'd put the book down like this, and I'd hang over the side of the bed, have the light shine down, and I'd read. My face would end up in the book, and I'd be sound asleep. And my brother, he'd tease me, he said, Dust, I don't think those words out of that book hop into your brain just by keeping the book nearby. How many Bibles have you got at your house? How many of them do you read? Do you make a part of your life? We say we want to hear God's voice, God speak to us. You got 66 books right here where He speaks clearly and plainly. And let me tell you, He's speaking about the times in which we're living. You better believe it. He's speaking about these times, about what's going on in the earth right now. Many other ways that God speaks. Next week, I'm going to get into some of these others. He speaks through His body, the church. He speaks through gifts and gifted people. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks through angels. His verbal, audible voice has been heard. He speaks through dreams. He speaks through visions. In people's lives, we have examples of those. He speaks in many other ways. The point is, God is speaking. But the one I want to look at today is how God speaks through prayer. Now, if you'll turn with me to the 10th chapter of Acts, this is one of my favorite stories. Another couple of scriptures, you can just jot these down. Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. That you're constantly in an attitude of prayer. Ephesians 6:18 says, and with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for the saints. So, in other words, we need to be praying for one another. Have you been prompted this week? God put somebody's name on you, or you saw their face, you know, as you're meditating, as you're praying, God puts them on your heart. You need to pray for them right then. Make that a practice of your life. Now, Jesus purchased our privilege to pray through His blood on the cross. He purchased the access that we have to the Father through Him, that we can pray, that we can intercede. And not only did He purchase the access, He said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you Who? Another comforter, a counselor, one who would walk beside you. In fact, that is his name, the Parakletos, the alongside of, called, the one called alongside of. That's the Holy Spirit. That's that word, comforter, counselor. That's what it means. And he will show you how to pray. He will instruct you in your prayer life. The Holy Spirit is here right now. Prayer does not change things. That's wrong. God changes things. Prayer gets you in touch with God. You see, we get that mixed up. We have a lot of spiritualism, a lot of mysticism that happens around prayer in our culture. A lot of Eastern influence that's coming on prayer, that if you say the right words, the special incantation. No! It gets back to your relationship. If you want to hear God, I mean, well, let's speak to Him and let's listen to Him. Because prayer isn't just an exercise of spouting off my list to the Lord. Prayer is listening. Listening. What is He saying? Now, I don't understand this, but God has chosen the avenue of prayer through which to work. Now, we can argue about it all day long, but it is His chosen avenue where He releases His power as we pray. In order to pray to Him, we've got to humble ourselves in His presence. Look at all that He has laid up in store for us. He is waiting to give us if we will come to Him in prayer. Now listen to this story, okay? Like you've never heard this story before. This is a lost art in the church in the West. Reading and listening to the Word of God. So listen. Now there was a man at Caesarea. His name was Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort. A devout man, one who feared God with all of his household. He gave many alms to the Jewish people, and he prayed to God continually. About the ninth hour of the day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he clearly saw in a vision. Let's stop right here. I want you to note in this reading as we go along all the things that have anything to do with prayer. Okay? At about the ninth hour, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of the Lord who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius. That'll get your attention. And fixing his gaze on him, being much alarmed, he said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now dispatch some men to Joppa. Send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He's staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea." And when the angel who was speaking to him had left, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were his personal attendants. And after he'd explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. Got the story? He's a God-fearer. He is open to the Lord. He has seen God working in some way. And now God is bringing revelation to him, and God specifically speaks to him. Gives him an assignment. Even gives him Simon Peter's name. On the next day, verse 9, as they were on their way, approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. 12 noon. So now, we're 21 hours later. And he became hungry, was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. And he saw the sky opened up, an object like a great sheet coming down. It was lowered on four corners to the ground, and there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals, crawling creatures of the earth, birds of the air, and a voice came to him and said, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I've never eaten anything unholy or unclean." Again a voice came to him a second time, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." This happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. So we have this other vision. Following the story? Now when Peter was greatly perplexed in his mind as to what the vision that he had seen might be, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius the day before, having asked directions to Simon's house, they didn't have a GPS, appeared at the gate and calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself." Somebody praying over here, somebody praying over here. Peter went down to the men and he said, "Behold, I am the one you were looking for. What is the reason for which you've come?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by the holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you. So he invited them in and gave them lodging." Let's stop there for just a second. Number one, would Peter normally have entertained these men? Answer, no. These were Gentiles. Now, he had asked God what the vision meant. And the Lord told him, don't call this unholy, what I've made holy. So God is about to expand his horizons. On the next day, he got up and he went away with them, and some of the men from Joppa accompanied him. On the following day, he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. So do you think that Cornelius expected God to come through in what he had promised? He was living in expectation because he's already got a crowd there ready to hear. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and he fell at his feet and he worshiped him. But Peter raised him up and he said, "Stand up, I too am just a man." And he talked with him and he entered. And he found many people assembled. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him." I mean, look at all the numbers he's hitting here. The things he's breaking. "And yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. That is why I came without even raising any objection when I was sent for. So I asked, for what reason have you sent for me?" He gets past all of the stuff, all the garbage. I wonder how much stuff God wants to get past in our lives to get us to where we will hear and be obedient to what he's called us to do. Cornelius said, 4 days ago, to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments. He said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before the Lord. Therefore, send to Joppa and invite Simon, who is called Peter, to come to you. Stay at the house of Simon the tanner. So I sent for you immediately. You've been kind enough to come. Now then, we're all here present before the Lord to hear all the Lord has commanded by himself. In other words, we're ready to hear what God has spoken to you. No pressure, right? So opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. What just happened? What happened? Division and walls melted. I'm speaking to some people today who are living walled lives, and God is wanting to destroy those walls. He is wanting to melt away the barriers that are around your life and to speak to you and through you and for you to be able to be mobile in the Spirit, to speak where He wants you to speak to who He wants you to talk to act, to go where He wants you to go without reservation. God is calling on us today to do that. I most certainly understand, Peter said, that God is not one to show partiality. But in every nation, the man who fears Him and does what is right is welcome to Him. The word which He sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, that He is the Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing that took place through all of Judea, starting with Galilee, and He's going to preach the gospel to them. After the baptism which John proclaimed, you know of Jesus of Nazareth. God anointed Him with the Holy Spirit with power, and now He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. And we are witnesses of all the things that He did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put Him to death by hanging Him on a cross. And God raised Him up on the third day and granted that He would become visible. Now, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us, who ate and drank with Him after He arose from the dead. And He ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who had been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of Him all the prophets bear witness that through His name everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins. Whew. What a sermon. And while Peter was still speaking these words, Pentecost happens again. Those Jews that thought that the Holy Spirit, that the gospel was just for them, they get to see the Gentile Pentecost right here. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. What do you think that looked like? I think it looked like it looked like is they were waiting in the upper room and the Spirit of God came in Jerusalem. And all the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. They got to see God change lives. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. The miraculous happens just like at Pentecost. And Peter answered, surely no one can refuse water for these to be baptized who received the Holy Spirit just as he did. Do you see? He's showing that they've been immersed in the Spirit of God. Jesus has come into their lives, and now they're going to be physically baptized to show what has already happened in their life. What a beautiful picture. And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. Now, why did I read that story to you? God was working in one city over here and one city over here to speak. Caesarea, Joppa. And he was bringing his plan together. How many things in your life right now are you looking at and you're saying they're impossible because they're physically impossible? There's distance. There are barriers. I want you to know that the Lord we serve is Lord over the barriers. And as we pray, as Cornelius prayed, as Peter prayed, both at the invitation of the Lord was leading them in their prayers. God spoke. And as they were obedient, I want you to look at the blessing, how the blessing just rolled out to other people because they prayed. You see, you don't have to belong to an elite class of people, special folk, to pray. Do you? That's another lie that's being perpetrated in the church in the West. That's a lie hot from hell. That you've got to be part of the elite class if you're going to pray. It's only these people that do the prayer. No, God has called all of us. It's part of breathing spiritually. You don't have to understand the process either. The whole process when you pray, you say, well, I don't get this, and I don't understand why God does this, and I don't understand this. Listen, I've never milked a cow in my life. But somehow I read about how you get milk from cows, but from the time I was a little boy, I love milk. I love the taste of it. And it really didn't matter to me to have to know the whole process of how milk got in our refrigerator. I drank it. We need to quit nitpicking in our prayer and understand that Jesus, you know, that's some arrogance on our part. We don't have to understand the whole process. We have to trust. Did Cornelius understand everything that was going on? Of course not. I mean, you hear, you know, this guy comes and tells you and gives you specific instructions about a guy's name, and you send your servants there to go and fetch this guy and actually believe that he's going to come back with them? That's crazy talk by the world standards. Prayer is not about seeking the answer. Prayer is first about seeking the answerer. Seeking God. From this story, we find out that God honors consistency and persistence in prayer. From the context, what we discover is that Cornelius had been at this for a while. Let me ask you this. Have you asked God lately, God, why do you wait about things? Are there some questions you want to ask Him when you get to glory? Say, Lord, I don't understand why we have to wait about certain things. I don't either. I don't get it. But that's something I have to trust in. Just like Cornelius did. God promised and God came through. We also see in the story that a righteous life energizes prayer. What do you see God drawing Cornelius in. And then you see over here with Simon Peter. What is he doing with Peter? He's busting his chops. Bringing righteousness into his life. And God honors that. That energizes prayer. And prayer isn't your private business either. Because look at all the answers to prayer that He integrates in and through our lives. He uses that person, in this situation as He brings answers to our prayers. God is doing things around us that we can't even imagine. The Lord might have put a $100 bill in your Bible this week. How long will it be before you find it? Get the principle about that? Here's the principle. Where is God waiting to bless you? Simply through obedience. Finally, answers to prayer build in this sequence. Prayer, faith, obedience, revelation. Prayer, faith, obedience, revelation. I believe the Lord is waiting on us to storm the gates of heaven with our prayers so we can hear His voice. We must learn to tarry in prayer. Hang around long enough to listen to the Lord. And then when we look around to see how God is working around us, we must increase our time in prayer, and we must remove the clutter from our prayer life. All the distractions, so we can press in to God Himself. That's why in Ephesians 5, Paul says, don't be drunk on wine wherein there's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You can't afford to get drunk on something else before you go to the Lord in prayer. Do you hear me? I believe it's time for us to start getting serious about our relationship with the Lord. To get serious about prayer. We say we believe this stuff. We say we believe in it. Is there enough evidence in our lives to convict us of that belief? Time to get busy. The night is coming. There are many people that are dependent on us to get it right. You know that? Because if they recognize you as a child of God, they're dependent on you to get it right. It's up to you. It's your choice. We're going to open the altar. If you'd like to come and spend some time with the Lord, get another person and come and maybe tarry a bit in prayer, you can today. Some of you looking at me have got some things in your life that have just eaten you alive. When are you going to let go of it? I was helping my daddy wire a house years ago. I was a teenager. He'd given me strict instructions about which wires to touch and which ones not to touch. Guess what? Head as hard as that oak right there. I was singing Frank Sinatra a long time ago. I did it my way. He's in the other part of the house, and I stick my hand in there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And as soon as I got a hold of it, it got a hold of me. And I could hear Dad laughing in the other part of the house. And his encouragement to me was, it didn't take you long to look at it, did it? You know what? That's my prayer today for us, that we'll throw it down, what God has not intended. We'll let go. The universal symbol of letting go is what? Which is also what? I surrender. Which is also what? I praise and worship you. These hands are open before heaven. They handle nothing except what you put in them. You are Lord of it all. I give it to you. Are you ready to do that? Instead of trying to hold on to that stuff. You say you want to hear God's voice. Let go and listen. If you've never received Jesus in your life, today is the day. He came into my life when I was 15 years old. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He forgave my sin, and He made me a new person. I praise His name. You never received it. You can receive it today. It's good news. Lord, we come before you now as we open the altar and we say, Holy Spirit, come. Lord, we bless your name. Lord, I'm asking you right now, as you're putting these things on my heart. Lord, there are some of us sitting here right now that are holding on with white knuckles to that which will not save, which will not redeem, which will not buy back, which will not reconcile, which will not forgive. Lord, we release it to you today. Come now, come. Come in this place. Come in our lives. The altar's open. If you'd like to come and pray, come. We continue to pray. Ryan asked me this morning, he wanted to say a word of thanks to all of you.
For those that don't know, I was actually in a car wreck on 9/11 that just about took my life. I was in ICU and I was in a coma for 3 weeks. I just thank everybody for the prayer, for the support, and I just thank God for His guidance and His hand of mercy in my life. Thank y'all. All. Bye.
Stay right here, son. Stay right here. And Lord, we're joining together as the body of Christ. Right now, I'm praying for Ryan. I thank you, Lord. You have saved his life. Lord, but you've done that before. You have intervened. And Lord, I know you have a purpose for Ryan's life. So Lord, we're joining together today and asking you, Lord, that you'll grant him the power. Lord, he can cooperate with you and partner with you in your plan for his life. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for this living, breathing, testifying answer to our prayers. You snatched him, Lord, from the edge of death. And I thank you. Now, Lord, lead him by your Spirit. Lord, I pray Ryan will listen to you and be obedient to your plan in his life. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
If you have an offering to bring or those cards, there's a basket in the back. Basket's up here. You can bring them at this time. Look this way, if you will. Now, I know for some of you, the evil one's already been whispering in your ear and said, oh, that sounds good while you're here, but wait till you get out there. I want to say to you, yeah, wait till you get out there. Because the same Holy Spirit that's here is out there and is in here. So wherever you go, you are the church. You're his body. The body of believers. So let's go have church at Walmart, at the mall, at Gulfstream, on Abercorn. Man, if you can have church on Abercorn, you can have it anywhere. Right? And the Lord bless you as you go. Let me say this benediction over you. Lord, now we're praying for the authority of Yahweh, our Father. We're asking you for the love of Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, the Son. And Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit as we go. I send you out in the name of Jesus. Amen.